Well, the story is told that when Pope John Paul II came here to the United States back in the 1980s, he flew into New York Airport and was picked up by a chauffeur in a limousine. The Holy Father got into the limo, and they headed towards St. Patrick's Cathedral in downtown New York City. The Pope began to talk to the chauffeur and began to lament the fact that nobody ever let him drive. Since he had been Pope, he hadn't had a chance to get behind the wheel. He used to love to drive as a young man, he explained. So he said, "Would you mind if we trade places?" Of course, you can't disobey the Pope. So the chauffeur pulled the car over. The Pope got into the driver's seat. The chauffeur sat in the back seat, and they went off. Pope John Paul had a lead foot, and they got pulled over for speeding. The policeman, Officer O'Malley, walked up, and the window was buzzed down, and he looks at this interesting sight. He sees the Holy Father, the Pope, in the front seat driving the car. He sees the man in the back and says, "Give me a second, I have to make a phone call." So he goes back to the police car and calls, "Sergeant, I just made a big mistake. I just pulled over somebody of great importance." The sergeant said, "Well, who is it?" "The mayor." The officer said, "No, more important than that." "Was it the governor?" "No, way higher than that." "You mean you pulled over the president of the United States?" The officer said, "Even higher than that." "Well, who is it?" The officer said, "Well, I don't know his name, but he's got the Pope as his chauffeur." So in today's gospel, we have the apostles not recognizing Jesus. He walks with them for 7 miles, and still they don't recognize him. Let's take a brief look at this gospel tonight, one of the most beautiful gospels in all of Scripture. It's called The Road to Emmaus. Emmaus was 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. And two disciples, it was the very night of the resurrection. And two disciples were leaving the community of the apostles, the early church, and walking really in the wrong direction. They were leaving their fellow apostles, going out to a town called Emmaus. And they were talking about the things that had occurred. And it says that I'm sure they were walking very slowly. They were downcast. They were very unhappy and very sad and confused. And it says all of a sudden, a stranger began walking with them. And it says they did not recognize him. And he says to them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And they stopped, looking very sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, said, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know what happened in these last few days?" And you can tell the Lord has a great sense of humor because he says, "What sort of things?" And he wants to see, you know, how they understood everything that had happened. Well, they summarize things by saying, "Well, Jesus of Nazareth, we thought he was a great and mighty prophet before God and man, and he was handed over by the chief priests, and he was crucified." He says, "We were hoping he was going to redeem Israel." See, they were looking at it from a purely sort of earthly standpoint. They were looking for somebody to throw out the Romans and restore the great power to the chosen people, to Israel. They didn't realize that he did redeem not only Israel, but the whole world. He redeemed all of us. And it says, and besides that, it's the third day. Some of the women went and his body was not there. And they said, they saw a vision of angels that said he was alive. And some of the apostles went to the tomb and found things just as the woman had described. Him they did not see. Then Jesus responds, "Well, how foolish and slow you are. Was it not necessary that the Christ had to suffer these things before he would enter into his glory?" So this was part of the Father's plan, that Jesus would go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and open the gates of heaven by his passion, death, and resurrection. The next sentence is interesting. "Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures." The Lord gave the greatest sermon ever told. And it took about 7 miles of walking to unfold all the Old Testament things that he fulfilled, all the prophecies that he fulfilled. If you want to read a good book about what he probably talked about, during that walk. It's called the Emmaus Code. It's a good Christian book written by David Libbal. Don't confuse it with the Da Vinci Code. That's a different thing. That's fiction. But the Emmaus Code is all about that one sentence, what Jesus said to the apostles as they walked along. And he goes through all the things that the Lord probably spoke about himself as the new Adam, that he came to crush the head of the serpent, that he was that one who would be born of the woman and who would crush the serpent's head. He probably spoke of himself as the suffering servant of Isaiah that was led to the slaughter like a sheep who opened not his mouth. How he was that stone rejected by the builders who has become the cornerstone. How he was that bronze serpent that would be lifted up on the pole, and those who look at him with faith would be healed of the poison of sin. He was the Emmanuel, God with us, that Isaiah prophesied. He was the one to be born in Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah had foretold. He was the rock that Moses struck in the desert and out gushed water. That was what happened to Jesus on the cross when outflowed blood and water from his wounded side. He was the Passover lamb whose blood would wash away our sins and redeem us and protect us from evil. He was the new Moses that would lead us into the promised land of heaven. See, these are all just a few of the many things that the Lord probably said in that 7-mile journey, how he fulfilled all of these things. Well, by the time this sermon was over, probably the greatest sermon ever given, which they didn't write down, unfortunately, the Lord pretended to be going on farther. Notice the Lord does not force himself upon us. The Lord wants us to invite him into our hearts. The Lord never forces himself on us. He invites us, but we have to say, Jesus, come, stay with us. And so the Lord did. And says, while they were at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread. These are very Eucharistic words. And it says, with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And of course, then the Lord disappears, and the apostles said, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked to us on the way? That's the first recorded account of Jesus giving the disciples heartburn. But it was a good kind of heartburn, because it was the Holy Spirit that was filling their hearts with a fire of love, that the Lord, as he spoke to them, their hearts began to burn with love. And so it says they ran back to Jerusalem. They had walked so sad out of Jerusalem. Now they run back to Jerusalem. See, when this gospel began, they had broken hearts, but now they were filled with joy. Their sorrow had been turned to happiness, their despair into hope, disillusionment into victory. So they run back and tell the apostles, we have seen the Lord. And they say, we know that. We've seen him as well. And it was a time of great rejoicing, because they had truly seen that our Lord and Savior was risen from the dead. And I think what we should remember about this passage is that it, I believe, really summarizes what happens at every Catholic Mass: the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. The liturgy of the Word is the readings from Scripture that we heard, you know, the homily, the prayers of the faithful, the creed. That's the liturgy of the Word. And that's where the Scriptures become unfolded on for us. Every time we come to Mass, it's like we're walking with Jesus on the way, and he's unfolding the Scriptures to us. That's what we are supposed to do as priests, is unfold the Scriptures for you in the liturgy of the Word. But that's only the first part of the Mass. The second part, the liturgy of the Eucharist, where the priest takes the bread and says, this is my body, this is the cup of my blood, and it becomes Jesus. And if we are wise, if we have the faith, we know that Jesus Christ is truly becoming present in the most blessed sacrament on the altar. And then we recognize him truly present among us in the Holy Eucharist. So that's what happens at every Mass, the way to Emmaus: the unfolding of the Scriptures in the first part of the Mass, and then that is to enable us to recognize the true presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist.